Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Today is October 26, 2016. The markets were mixed today. The Dow closing up at 18,199, the NASDAQ down at 5250, and the S&P down at 2139. This week, we have a guest in the studio. I have attorney Stan Vasiliadis to discuss long-term care as part of retirement and estate planning. We are live. Lori's in the studio with us tonight. She'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic. I'll do my best to answer your questions. The number to call in is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So let's get started. Our topic, again, is long-term care as part of retirement and estate planning. I'd like to introduce my guest this evening. Stanley Vasiliadis is a certified elder law attorney. His law firm, Vasiliadis & Associates, has offices in Bethlehem. Stan represents clients throughout eastern Pennsylvania in connection with long-term care planning, trust and estate administration, and estate and tax planning. And he's a returning guest because Stan's been on the show a couple times before. So welcome back to the show.
Hi, Laurie. Thank you for having me again.
And tell us a little bit about, now I know that I know this story, and sometimes we've had listeners who might have heard your show when you've been on a couple times before, but for our new listeners, because we have a broader listening audience now that we've increased our signal, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became involved in long-term care planning?
I was an experienced attorney maybe 15 years in. And my wife's Aunt Irene, sweet old lady that she was, broke her hip. After a long recovery, went back home and really came to live with us. On the third day, she fell again, broke her hip.
Oh, no.
Literally on the third day, and ended up spending the last 7 years of her life in the nursing home here in Bethlehem, in the Leader Home then, mm-hmm. then said. And I watched month by month, year by year, her lose everything that she and her late husband had spent a lifetime accumulating. There really wasn't anything that anybody could do or that I knew what to do, even though I was an experienced attorney. And I thought, gee, there must be ways to get the care that you need and not have to forfeit everything that you've spent a lifetime accumulating. And there are, and it's too late for Aunt Irene, but it's not too late for your listeners and the people that come to us for help.
That's great. And we have talked about long-term care planning before, and we intend to talk about that tonight. But it was interesting to me when we were talking about doing this show, you had said you wanted to talk about retirement planning. So explain to me, and I thought you had a good take on it, so I thought you should share your perspective on that with the audience.
When you think about it, Laurie, retirement planning is really a part of estate and long-term care planning, which is what we lawyers do.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people view it as a separate and distinct matter. And conversely, estate and long-term care planning, when properly done, forms the basis of a successful retirement plan. These are all interconnected. In other words, retirement planning is more than just building savings and income sufficient to meet lifestyle needs after we're no longer working. So let me give you an example. If you set aside a nice nest egg for a secure retirement, you won't be secure no matter how much money you have. If due to illness or advanced age, you lose your ability to manage your money and there's no one there to step in and help. A power of attorney or revocable living trust can remedy that problem. Let me give you another example. Take a married couple. They're living comfortably in retirement, debt-free, traveling, doing the things they never had a chance to do when they were young. Suddenly, one day, one of them has a stroke, enters a nursing home, doesn't recover enough to return home. Now they're paying $10,000 a month for that care. What happens to the wife at home? What would over $100,000 a year of unexpected out-of-pocket costs do to your retirement plan? Ask yourself that, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I said out-of-pocket because Medicare and health insurance don't pay for long-term nursing home care. Medicaid does, but without the proper legal tools in place, you won't be able to qualify for Medicaid without first going broke, which is what happened to my Aunt Irene.
Mm-hmm.
Good Medicaid planning will get you the benefits while protecting that retirement nest egg for the spouse at home. This risk of long-term nursing home care is the 800-pound gorilla in the room that most financial planners ignore. Simply telling their clients to buy long-term care insurance is really not a plan.
So when we talk about retirement planning, it's more than just it's looking at not just how they're spending their money for their cash flow needs, but also the unexpected and the extreme of the unexpected somewhat. So we're talking about retirement planning, including that long-term care piece.
Right. So many times I've seen a number of advisors, and they have illustrations, and they very detailed, and this is what you need to do, and allocation of assets and income, and it's all worked out. And then when it gets to the part of, well, what if there's long-term care, their answer is, well, buy long-term care insurance. And so why do I say that that's really not a plan?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because whether or not you have long-term care insurance, or it might be some other financial product, assuming you can get it and keep it, you know, which could be life insurance that converts into a long-term care benefit or an annuity that does the same. These are great products to look at and have. But the problem is, what happens to all those people who outlive those benefits? My wife's Aunt Irene spent 7 years in a nursing home before she died. Even if she had 2, 3, 5 years of long-term care insurance, she still would have gone broke. Medicaid pays without any time limits or dollar limits, and there is no one on Medicaid who can afford to pay for this care. Because the way it works, Laurie, when you go broke and you qualify for Medicaid, you pay your income over to the nursing home, and the government makes up the difference for as long as you live. No financial product can do that. So it's important, and I don't want to downplay the importance of investing and in using these types of products like long-term care insurance or the hot new area of life insurance with death benefits and annuities. But you got to combine this type of financial product planning with public benefits eligibility planning. Another example of a public benefits is a certain type of veterans benefit called the Improved Pension Plan, and sometimes also referred to as aid in attendance. Very, very many veterans can qualify for that benefit, and widows of veterans. And in, to make a long story short, for people who require expensive care, whether it be at home or in an assisted living or in a nursing home. And especially if it's at home, let's say, or in an assisted living, and the cost is higher than what your income is, and you're worried about depleting your savings, that extra $1,000 or $2,000 a month with veterans benefits can help close that gap and preserve the retirement.
Stan, you just said an awful lot in 10 minutes, and we're going to have to talk about some of these benefits and planning in more detail. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have with me this evening attorney Stanley Vasiliadis from Vasiliadis and Associates Law Firm in Bethlehem. And we are talking about long-term care planning as part of your retirement planning and estate planning. And being aware of not just planning for long-term care for yourself, but also in the event that possibly you didn't take the steps to get the long-term care you needed, or you may survive in a nursing care facility longer than your long-term care may cover. A distinction that Stan had pointed out, which I think bears repeating because some people don't understand this, and that is that Medicare, when you're over 65 and you have Medicare benefits, Medicare does not pay for nursing care. Medicaid does. So that's an important distinction. Many people confuse that. And also health insurance does not cover long-term nursing care. So that's why we are talking about making sure that we understand planning. I also wanted to point out that if we have time towards the end of the show, if we can come back to something that Stan had mentioned, which is a veteran's benefit. And I believe, Stan, you called it an approved benefit plan.
Improved pension.
Improved pension.
Also referred to as aid in attendance.
Okay. I wanted to mention that Stan has an associate, Dennis Pappas, who works with Vasiliadis and Associates as well. And I know that Dennis is very involved in veterans benefits and planning as well. So your firm does not only elder law planning and estate planning and estate work, but also a lot of work around veterans benefits as well.
Right. And we weave all of that into the rest of the picture.
Okay.
It all fits in as part of the puzzle. Retirement planning, estate planning, long-term care planning with veterans benefits, other public benefits, coordinating this with financial products, especially annuities, life insurance that can be converted in death benefits, certainly long-term care insurance if you can get it as well.
Okay. So hopefully we can talk about all these different pieces as we go. Let's first talk, if we can, Stan, a moment about, you know, we talked about long-term care and whether people need it or not, and then there's some cost around long-term care, and there's different ways to get that coverage. Some people don't think they'll need it. Maybe their family history didn't, you know, necessitate that, so they don't think it'll apply to them. Do you have some statistics, though, on how many people end up having long-term care needs and or for what period of time? Because one thing I think we all do understand is that we've had so many medical advances that we are living longer. So just because we're living longer, it doesn't mean we're living longer at home. We could be living longer, but in a nursing home, because they've kept us alive, but we may not have capacity. So do you have any statistics that you could share if you've
I do. Okay. I do. And we are living longer, but not necessarily better.
Right.
Let's begin, Laurie, by defining what we mean by quote-unquote long-term care. It's those services and supports needed to meet the personal care needs of someone who has permanently lost the ability to live independently. So what do we mean when we say someone can no longer live independently? Well, we're referring to a person who needs assistance with what's referred to as instrumental activities of daily living, or in the more extreme circumstance, someone who needs assistance with activities of daily living. Mm-hmm. So in plain English, what does that mean? Well, when you're talking about instrumental activities of daily living, that means it covers a lot of people. Someone who needs help with housework, or maybe help with paying their bills and managing their money. Someone who needs assistance in managing the medications they take, or preparing and cleaning up after meals, or going out and grocery shopping or clothes shopping, communicating, you know, with the computer or telephone, caring for pets, things like that. People like that are not in nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
Many people are have these situations at home, and we see this. Some of these people go into assisted living facilities, and they are, because they need this help, it's an example of no longer being really independently able to handle things on their own. We all think that, you know, we're going to live however long we're going to live, and one day we're going to die.
Right.
And we don't think about, well, before we reach that point, are we going to not be able to do some of these things that I've just described? And that, if we get to that point, it means that for whatever reason, we may have a chronic illness. It may simply be the frailties of advanced age. We're at a point where we need people to start helping us, and that's because we're declining. Not everybody, but how many? About 70% will be in this situation, or in the worst situation of nursing home care. And the statistic, Laurie, is actually from the United States Department of Health and Human Services, which tells us that 70% of people turning age 65 can expect to need some combination of long-term care services during their lives. Now, that's not necessarily going to be in a nursing home, and not necessarily till they die.
Mm-hmm.
But usually when you reach a point where you lose function, you don't usually get it back unless it's a temporary illness or something that you can bounce back from. Now, these people that need help with instrumental activities of daily living, when they decline to a greater extent, they begin to need assistance, what we call activities of daily living, such as bathing. What we're talking about is bathing, dressing, toileting, getting up from the chair to go to the bathroom, from bed to bath. Some people are incontinent. Eating, maybe somebody needs help to be fed, or maybe they can't swallow. These are activities of daily living. The people that have trouble with these, several or more that need substantial assistance, these are the people that are in nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not dying, but they really don't have much quality of life, and it's costing. These are the people that are spending $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 a month out of pocket. Month in, month out, year in, year out. People who, it may be a combination of cognitive impairment, it may be more physical impairment, it may be both. These are the people, and to some extent, it could be extreme or it could be very minimal. I mean, there are people who are at home and they need help with their bills and their housekeeping. Maybe they can't, the widower can't mow the lawn anymore, but he still gets out. Maybe doesn't do what he or she used to do. So that's included within the 70%. And when we're looking at how this factors into retirement planning, you figure, well, maybe I won't be in a nursing home, but what if I'm at home and I need, it's costing a lot of money.
We're going to continue that thought when we come back from our next break. Folks, I didn't say the phone number. I apologize. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have in the studio with me this evening attorney Stanley Vasiliadis of Vasiliadis and Associates in Bethlehem. We're talking about long-term care planning as part of your retirement planning and your estate planning. And Stan is bringing up quite a few good points tonight. If you would like to ask questions, we can take those live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. You can give your question to Lori in the studio. If you call in at 610-758-8810, she can write the question down and bring it in. And if you want to talk on air, we'll bring you on air. And if you're not comfortable talking on air, we'll just read your question and answer it the best we can. So again, that's 610-758-8810. And you can always send questions through the website yourfinancialchoices.com as well. So Stan, you were coming to a great point here, which I want you to continue talking on before we went to our break, which is you explained the differences between instrumental activities of daily living, which are things like your housework, your finances, your medication, food preparation, communicating. So you could still possibly be living independently, but maybe need a little bit more help, which could lead to enough help that maybe you want to live in an assisted living facility. We can talk about what that means as part of your retirement planning. And to the extent that it becomes activities of daily living that you cannot do, such as bathing, dressing, transferring, toileting, and feeding yourself, those are more nursing home requirements then, because you can't actually probably live if you don't have people helping with those things. So let's go back to how we started the show, talking about long-term care planning as part of retirement planning. And how do you grapple with these two different kinds of situations? So what do you do for long-term care planning for people who might be assisted living? Because I'm thinking in my head, well, assisted living, you can't insure against that. You can't buy a long-term care policy that's going to pay for assisted living. You can't use Medicaid to pay for assisted living. So what can we do there from a long-term care planning perspective? And then we can go from there to talk about what we do for nursing care facilities.
Some people in assisted living do meet the threshold for tripping long-term care insurance benefits in nursing homes, but it's if they are to an extent that they would be nursing facility clinically eligible, which means they could qualify. It's kind of like a gray area.
Like okay. You could actually have a husband and wife possibly who are both living in assisted living, and one spouse might actually meet the criteria for the nursing care but still be able to stay?
It used to be, Laurie, maybe 10, 15 years ago, that if you are in an assisted living, and technically in Pennsylvania, they're referred to as personal care homes, but they're really, they have all the hallmarks of assisted living, and they're not allowed to call themselves that anymore, but that's really what they are, unless you're specially licensed. And it used to be that once you crossed that line and you had difficulty with activities of daily living, the basics like bathing and dressing and toileting, that they would have to kick you out. The rules are more lenient now, and they can keep you in these facilities even when you arguably meet that threshold. And if you do, then you will trigger eligibility for these long-term care benefits through long-term care insurance or life insurance or whatnot. But the problem is, in terms of your retirement planning, a lot of retired seniors that are still very healthy, that's when you want to focus on, in the earlier, the better, on the financial
right.
products. Okay,
right.
And mix those in. You need to combine that with some of the legal tools that we use. And what I like to define the long-term care planning, Laurie, as the process of structuring your affairs to protect the quality of your life, physical and financial. So that also means having planning in place. What happens if, for these people, that they're at home and they need help with some of their activities? They're doing okay. What happens when they can no longer manage their finances? It's important for that retiree to have, if possible, a good comprehensive power of attorney so that you have somebody waiting in the wings that can step in and pay your bills and manage your investments and do all that. The other aspect is to have a health care agent. Under a healthcare power of attorney, could be the same person, could be different people, who can then help make healthcare arrangements, deal with your doctors, with healthcare providers, get second opinions, and if necessary, you reach a point where you can't make decisions for yourself, either temporarily or long term, to step in and do that. That's really part of the retirement planning. So you need to have those legal tools in place for someone to step in and help, and who can then step in and help with the finances. Sometimes some people, most people are not in this situation, don't have a person that they can appoint as their power of attorney that is really up to the task of doing the day-to-day looking after your finances and looking, helping you with your home and your homemaking and all of that. And it's better not to have somebody as an agent under power of attorney who is not going to be honest or diligent than to appoint someone who's going to steal all your money. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's a hot topic, elder abuse, mm-hmm. abusing powers of attorney. So on the one hand, you want to have a very good, comprehensive, detailed power of attorney that will allow you to do what you need to do to protect yourself and qualify for public benefits and make changes with your beneficiary designations, let's say, and property and gifting and all of that. But then you don't want that power to be abused. So in some cases, when you don't have a trustworthy person, that's where you use the revocable living trust.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And you have an institution waiting in the wings that can step in and take over and help. And, you know, if nowadays there's a lot of flexibility for people, if they have a money manager, financial planner that they have worked with and trust and want to continue working with, these trusts can be structured. I mean, they're basically, you're the trustee, you continue to manage your own affairs, but then if you reach a point where you can't, that's where the successor trustee steps in. That's where the institution steps in. If you want to keep your money manager involved, you can do that. We can structure trusts that way. Mm-hmm. There are a number of corporate trustees that will allow you to do that.
Yeah, we call that bifurcation of duties, I believe. Big fancy words.
Yeah.
Folks, we're going to continue our conversation with attorney Stan Vasiliadis, talking about long-term care planning as part of your retirement and estate planning. And if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And Lehigh Valley weather, currently 48 degrees. Tonight, a 30% chance of rain with a low around 34. Lori and Stan, I'm going to ask you to listen carefully to the weather report because there's a little quiz at the end. Tomorrow, Thursday, periods of rain, mainly after 11 a.m., high near 50 degrees, chance of precipitation 100%. Thursday night, a 60% chance of rain with a low around 43. For Friday, mostly sunny, high near 55, and Friday night, a low of 36. For Saturday, a slight chance of showers, partly sunny, with a high near 62. Saturday night, a low of 47 degrees. Now, here's the question. Tomorrow, Thursday, what is the percentage chance that we will not have precipitation?
During the day, zero.
She got it right. I can never get ahead of Lori. All
right. Have to listen to the details. Thanks, John. Welcome back to the show, folks. The phone number here is 610-758-8810. You can ask questions live on air or off air. Just give your question to Lori when you call in, 610-758-8810. We're talking about long-term care planning as part of your retirement planning and estate planning. We've covered a lot of ground, I feel, already, making some really important clarifications and points. One, that Medicare does not pay for nursing care. Medicaid does. Talking about the differences in how long-term care is determined to be nursing care, which is unable to perform, I think it's like two out of so many activities or three out of so many
activities. Two out of six.
Two out of six activities, such as bathing, dressing, toileting, transferring, food, feeding, and versus what Stan called instrumental activities of daily living, such as just kind of housework, managing finances, medication, food preparation. I thought that was important to have that good distinction, and how sometimes we find people who may just need that extra bit of help, might not need the nursing care, but still might need some assisted living. And in order to kind of manage some of this for you, how important it is to start earlier than later. And I would almost say step one of all of that is, as Stan referred to already, is making sure you have the legal documents, such as a power of attorney, a strong, detailed, good power of attorney with all of the management provisions that will help make a difference in your planning should you become unable to, and a healthcare agent as well. You know, we want to make sure at a minimum you have those, because in the event you have incapacity, maybe you're 50 and you think you don't need to worry about long-term care planning yet, but accidents do happen. My father had a stroke at age 54, and it's his birthday today, by the way, but he's been gone for a while, but it is his birthday today. But my father, who would have planned on having a stroke at 54? So it's imperative that you get these documents in order, and you might as well get your will done at the same time. So you want your will, power of attorney, health care directive, and then working with your attorney as to whether or not it makes sense for you to have a separate trust or certain trust provisions within any of your documents. So that's step one. Now let's talk, Stan, then. Let's say we've done the power of attorney. We're getting a little older. We might know that we have some family history. We want to watch out for things. We know people are living longer. What do we need to think about in preparation of whether or not we want to incorporate some of this long-term care planning in our retirement planning? What kind of numbers are we talking about as far as costs, as an impetus to get people paying attention to this? Let's talk about a little bit about long-term care costs and coverage that people need to be aware of.
Well, really, Laurie, when you think about it, long-term care planning should be a part of every estate plan. It may not cost any more than simply having the right legal tools in place. It may involve people who are healthy and want to be proactive, and there are certain steps that we take in that regard. It may involve people who we call are in the pre-crisis mode, who are more likely than not at some point to no longer be able to live independently. And then we have the crisis. So those are like the three categories. What we refer to in our office as the non-crisis, then we have the pre-crisis, and then we have the crisis. The non-crisis, it could be someone who has no risk factors whatsoever, except, and it could be a young person or a retiree, and they'll come into our office and they'll pound their fist on the table and say, "I don't want to happen to me what happened to mm-hmm. Uncle Harry."
Right. Okay.
And because really none of us, we never think it's going to happen to us. Okay. Even though logically up here in our minds, we say, well, it could happen, but in our hearts, it's not going to be us. Okay. But when we're doing planning, we have to go beyond that. So you could utilize long-term care insurance when you're healthy. That's the only time you're going to get it. You could combine it with the use of a Medicaid trust. Or in the case of a pre-crisis, I'll give you a typical pre-crisis because we see a lot of these. John and Mary come into our office. They want to get their planning up to date. They're retirees. And I'm talking to John. He's fine, Mary. And Mary says, "John lately hasn't been the same. His judgment is off. Sometimes he does strange things. He's been diagnosed with early stage Alzheimer's." Okay. So now, boom, there's a whole set of planning procedures that we implement in that situation in terms of retitling assets as between spouses, in terms of what investments we spend down rather than others, especially when we start to incur care costs. And we look at the use of irrevocable trusts. We talked before, Laurie, about revocable living trust, a nice flexible tool. But when you're getting into the asset protection mode, a revocable living trust will not provide any protection. A great tool, we use it, but in a different context. Both contexts can be retirement planning mm-hmm. context. So we want to ensure that if and when John starts to require expensive care, it might be at home or in an assisted living, it may eventually end up in nursing home. We want to make sure that Mary, we have the right legal tools in place so that Mary's not going to go broke.
Yeah, because Mary could live another 40 years
yeah.
these days. We've seen this happen. So you have, I love this idea of the stages, the non-crisis, pre-crisis, and then crisis. So there still could be an opportunity for planning. What about, you had mentioned earlier about, you've mentioned using some certain kinds of life insurance. I'm aware of some of this, but I think if you could share it with our listeners about the life insurance that could be used for long-term care or long-term care itself yeah. or some other mechanism to help with the long-term care expenses.
This is becoming a hot topic in the financial field, these alternatives to long-term care insurance. Let's suppose you have Sally. And Sally wants to buy some life insurance, and she says to her broker, "You know, what happens if before I die, I become incapacitated? Maybe I'm at home and I need to spend a lot of money for care at home, or maybe in an assisted living, which may cost several thousand dollars a month more than my income, and certainly if I end up in a nursing home. I'd like to be able to tap that death benefit while I'm still alive." And the broker will say, "Yes, we can provide what's called an accelerated death benefit, ADB rider." And there are different variations of that. One, I think this is usually referred to as a long-term care rider. The terminology escapes me, but with the one kind, you pay an extra lump sum. You know, with life insurance, every month you pay a premium. Mm-hmm. When you die, somebody gets a mm-hmm. big lump sum. Well, in addition to paying that monthly premium, Sally is going to pay a lump sum mm-hmm. amount, and that will buy her the right to tap her life insurance benefit while she's alive, if she needs it, if she qualifies as a quote-unquote chronically ill individual. That's the benefit trigger mm-hmm. for long-term care and these other benefits through life policies. If Sally says, well, but I don't want to pay any more. I want the benefit without having to pay an extra lump sum. They'll say, okay, Sally, well, we have a different kind, and you won't have to pay any more. But if you do tap that benefit while you're alive as a lifetime benefit, it's going to be discounted from what the death benefit is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no free lunch in here.
Mm-hmm.
There are some annuity products, one referred to as an annuity doubler, where if you hit that point where you need long-term care, you have trouble with these activities of daily living, you can get double the benefit for up to 5 years,
mm.
you know, and you pay, and there's a risk, you know, you may not need it. You pay a little more, and now you can get double,
mm-hmm.
okay? These products are evolving, these financial products, these alternatives. Long-term care insurance, there's a problem with that because insurance to work, it works when you are covering a manageable risk over a large pool. So out of all these thousands of people who own homes, all of them have fire insurance, homeowners insurance. How many people who have homeowners insurance actually have a house that burns down to the ground? Now, we had a neighbor that did happen to, but it's very few.
Right.
So the premiums are not very high for homeowners insurance, relatively speaking. For long-term care insurance, some of my insurance friends years back told me that half of the people that were buying the insurance ended up at some point putting in a claim. Well, that blows the whole concept out of the water, okay? And so
not as many people were buying long-term care like we have homeowners buying, right?
Okay. It's a smaller pool, and mm-hmm. more of the people that buy it use it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing these other alternatives now are starting to step in and are becoming more prevalent. A lot of the insurance companies are getting out of the long-term care. Costs more to get it. The benefits are less. But now these life insurance and these annuities are popping up. So it's important, and we as elder law attorneys, we work with money managers, we work with insurance brokers, we work with geriatricians, and it's a team approach to try to combine all of these financial planning measures that you take for your retirement planning, and how do we coordinate it with the legal aspect.
Mm-hmm. And I think what happens, too, is there's a little bit, when we talk about risk management, so we've mentioned retirement planning, long-term care planning, estate planning, risk management being insurance to help manage those risks. Sometimes the risk management that we choose may be a hedge against a risk that we may think we will never have. So I might want something that's going to hedge. So long-term care might be one road I take, or these life insurance products that will give me a lifetime benefit if I needed, that might be another approach. But it's all hedging one way or another. But one of the things that folks have to be aware of when they're choosing these different options is long-term care and the cost and the period of time. So sometimes those insurance products may give you enough money to last 2 or 3 years, or the long-term care insurance they might buy the long-term care insurance for 3 years of care or 5 years of care or an open-ended term of care.
You won't find those anymore.
Yeah, well,
lifetime benefits.
Yeah, and they all have different cost to them as well. But none of these are going to provide necessarily the lifetime care, which you said that Medicaid is doing, and which is part of that planning that we have to consider and think about as well. We're at our last break. Can't believe we haven't had any calls. If you have questions, we still have plenty of time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we are talking with Stan Vasiliadis, attorney with Vasiliadis and Associates in Bethlehem. We're talking about long-term care planning as part of your retirement and estate planning. And I will mention that Vasiliadis and Associates does do elder law planning, estate planning, and also work with veterans. And Stan had mentioned coordinating kind of all of these pieces together, and they that includes some veteran, I can't remember what you called it.
Aid in attendance.
So all of those things combined, your firm does. Before we kind of finish up our conversation tonight, Stan, though, you had mentioned to me on the break that you're having a seminar actually on this. So can you tell people the logistics of that seminar? The phone number, let me mention, 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And while we're waiting for a possible call to come in, can you what is the presentation you're doing and when?
It's going to be building your estate planning toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about different legal tools, different types of trusts that can be used. We're going to talk about how you could, including a new product that we have in our office, a new type of trust, a minor's trust, how you can provide for grandchildren in a way that's more flexible and safer than a 529 plan, or a nice addition or expansion of what you have in that regard. So we've been doing these programs. They're 90-minute programs. There'll be one in the morning on November 9th and one again in the evening. And again on November 15th, one in the morning and one in the evening. We go for 90 minutes. There's a break in between. We have refreshments. There's an optional question and answer that we do at the end. We've been doing these in terms of long-term care asset protection planning for the last several years. They've been very well received. And now we're inaugurating and kicking off one that focuses more on traditional estate and retirement planning measures. And it would be a little bit more involved than maybe what we talked about here today.
Right.
With, written materials and PowerPoint and hopefully something that you can use in your own retirement and estate planning.
Now, you'll be there at the seminars, and will Dennis also, and
well,
George?
All three of us are involved.
Okay,
in these,
very good.
And beginning, if you read the morning call, beginning today, we had our first ad.
Okay, and otherwise it's on your website?
And
what
it's
is
on
your
website? And you're going to call our phone number to register.
Okay.
That would be 610-694-9455. I'll repeat. 610-694-9455. They're free, informative, and we've gotten good feedback on them.
You know, you mentioned trust, and it's so funny because, you know, I worked at a law firm for 9 years doing paralegal work, doing estates and trust, and it seemed back in the day people were using trust for the non-probate benefits and different things like that. And then, and there was more estate planning involved, credit shelter trust trying to protect from estate taxes. And then it seemed as the estate tax exemption, the exemption amount that we all have, went up. I felt like in the legal world, it seemed like attorneys weren't talking about trust as much. They weren't needed as much, or else that was, you know, what the media was feeding folks when they were going to do their planning, that trust, no, we don't need a trust. We don't need a trust because we're not managing estate taxes as much. For me, you know, I try to tell people, they say you can't control from the grave, but you could certainly control from a trust. So if you have children who have, you know, spouses you don't like, that you don't want the spouse to get the assets, if you have, or if your own spouse might not be able to care for themselves after you want to have something, or if there's special needs trust. And there are trusts that you could use, as you mentioned, even for this long-term care planning, you mentioned using an irrevocable trust. So there are still trusts that can help us in all of our planning. It just because there's no federal estate tax doesn't mean we don't possibly need some trust. It's just has to be applicable to you. I don't believe in throwing trust at people who don't need them. But there's a lot of things you can do with trust.
Oh, absolutely. Jonathan Blotmacher, a well-known estate planner, I always like, he describes trusts as protecting against creditors, predators, outlaws, and in-laws. And it sounds funny, but really it's a very good description. It protects. We use, more and more we're using the revocable trusts and for totally non-tax reasons, such as protecting, if you've got, and you've built up a nice size estate, and you've got children who are now adults and they're on the verge of getting married, or maybe they're newly married, and they're in line to receive a very large inheritance, which might be much larger than their husband or their wife's. Sometimes it's good to protect it in the form of a trust, because what happens if they get the inheritance outright? They're going to mix their monies with mm-hmm. their spouse. And then what happens when there's a divorce? Or what happens if, heaven forbid, the son or daughter dies prematurely, leaving minor children? You've got your grandchildren, and your son-in-law marries Attila the Hunny.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And she spends all of it. And, you know, if you think about it, whenever you have that situation where one spouse, one of the children, is married to someone and they have a great disparity of assets, these kinds of risks occur. So
yeah,
that's an example.
You got to pay attention. And I love that we have tools that can help manage all that. We had a caller call in. We had Nancy call in from Macungie, and Nancy had some good questions. Nancy, I hope you're still listening. So Nancy had asked Stan, if you could talk about how to prevent some of the instances. Now, I assume she's talking about possibly the healthcare agent based on what else she had said, because she wanted to know how to avoid medical care costs at a certain point or event. And what if she doesn't even want to go to, I think, the ECU, maybe the emergency room?
Okay.
I'm assuming that's what that meant. How could she relay that, meaning no medical attention? So I think what Nancy's saying is sometimes there might be people who would take measures to help medically someone who might not want that medical attention, and that's going to drive up their cost of care, and maybe they don't want that money spent toward some of this medical attention. So how do we protect against that?
Well, I'm glad we got that question, because we really haven't focused on the healthcare planning component, which is very important to have. An agent who is your power of attorney for healthcare, a healthcare agent in line with and along with a living will, to ensure that if you are no longer able to speak for yourself, that these measures can be prevented by your agent. Now, as long as Doesn't matter how old someone is or how sick they may be, as long as they can communicate, make and communicate a decision. I don't want this treatment. You have the authority to decline it. So you are the master of your own fate. But what happens if you've got Alzheimer's, or maybe you had a stroke, or maybe for whatever reason it might be temporary, it might be long term, you're not able to make or communicate decisions. You want your family members, your loved ones, to know how you feel about whether you want something or not want something, to talk about this, and to have a good comprehensive healthcare directive that that prevents that.
So, Nancy, that really would involve seeing an attorney, getting those documents drafted. This is, again, a great time when you can still control your destiny, is when you're of sound mind, to get in and get these documents drafted. And you could go through this in some detail. And a lot of people don't realize that the detail that either the health care agent provisions can provide or the living will. You can get into quite a bit of detail. So you really want to get those documents in order and make sure that also the person you're asking to be your agent is in line with that and understands. They need to follow that through for you. So I have seen and heard cases where sometimes a parent will say, well, Johnny says he'll do whatever I say, and Susie says, I want you to live forever. I'm going to do whatever I can to keep you alive. Well, you really need to think about which one you're going to name as the agent, right, Stan? I mean, would you say, right, even if you have that living will, you want to make sure your attorney has a copy of the document, obviously. You want your agent to be aware of it. And then isn't it that they can also provide it to local yes. hospitals or something,
what,
too,
what
now?
What we do is provide an extra copy of your health care documents, your health care power of attorney, and your living will, so that you can give it to your doctor, your attending physician, who can put it in your medical file, so that if you ever have any type of medical treatment by a specialist or otherwise, they check your medical file. They need to know, what are your medications? What is your prior medical history? Are you allergic to any types of medications? And by the way, is there a health care directive? Is there a power of attorney for health care? So if you have, it's important that you do pass that along, and we provide an extra copy.
Great. You know, Stan, we have about a minute left. I wanted to touch quickly on, we talked about long-term care planning, and we're thinking about people who are old and getting older, but we could actually have some long-term care needs for special needs children and young adults who, you know, can't care for themselves. And there's special trusts for them as well.
Sure, special needs trusts. And so what you're going to want to do, let's say you have a young child and what happens when the mom and dad are gone and now they're not a young child, but they can't care for themselves? Special needs trust. You're going to buy life insurance to fund that trust, in addition to whatever the inheritance is that that child's going to get. You're going to need to have a trust protector. You're going to have to pick the right kind of trustee. Should not be one of the kids. They can be the trust protector, maybe, one of the other kids that are healthy. So there are a lot of important considerations. Those special needs trusts are great because the money will be there and they won't disqualify the individual that's disabled from getting Medicaid public benefits. If it's not a special needs trust, if it's a regular trust, they won't qualify for those benefits until that trust is all spent down.
Right, and those public benefits are sometimes benefits that aren't otherwise available to people, and a lot of folks don't understand that. If there is certain, I had someone explain this to me once, if there are certain facilities or transportation or certain programs that might be out there that you know your special needs child might need, they may only be available to people who qualify for those governmental benefits.
I've had millionaires come in and want to qualify their children for that very exact reason, Lori, because they, without being in the program and getting the benefit, they won't get those programs that they so desperately need.
Now, Stan, are you going to touch on special needs trusts at your presentation that you're doing November 9th
oh, absolutely,
and 15th?
Yes, yes.
Because I think I know that there's a strong need for more information on that. So Vasiliadis and Associates are going to have a seminar on trust and other information as part of your estate planning toolbox, and that's November 9th and 15th. There's a 90-minute session in the morning and in the afternoon.
In the evening.
Yeah. Sorry. And the phone number is 610-694-9455. Stan, I'm running short. Thank you so much for being here, Lori. Thanks for taking the calls. John, thanks for being here. Next week, we have Stan Corey, author of The Divorce Dance, who's joining me to talk about the cast of characters in a divorce. And we have coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.